Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto,
the Rays.
A closer look at the AL East. AL East.
Vinny and Haney.
Time for the American League East report here on this Featured Artist Friday. The Orioles, that's the one that matters most because it was close to home. As a matter of fact, it was right downtown. Brewers lose 8-4 to the Red Sox. Orioles dropped 2 out of 3 in that series to Boston, who had dropped they dropped 3 out of 4 in Texas. Then the Orioles got them pretty good in the opener. Charlie Morton, 5 innings pitched, 6 hits, 5 runs, 2 walks, 10 Ks. I know we've talked about it earlier. His 2 starts, not ideal, but Steve Molesky, for people just tuning in, Bob Haney, Steve Molesky, Nolan McGraw, I'm not ready to say this has been a disastrous signing for the Orioles, but, you know, the upside's there, but so is the 41-year-old burster to the
defense. Yeah, it's hard to know what to make right now because he has gotten a lot of strikeouts. That part's good, but again, you know, if it comes up with, happens with 5 runs every outing, that won't cut it. So it feels to me, just watching him, like some of the stuff is close to being where he wants it, but he's obviously not consistently doing it. And even his curveball, Bob, which is bread and butter, he got some whiffs on that the other day, but it also got squared up a couple times, too. So right now, he's just not what they need him to be. And, you know, it's not like they got time to figure it out. Got to get going.
Cedric Mullins, he goes yard for the Orioles. Ramon Urias, Jordan Westberg, and Dylan Carlson also drive in runs. Alex Bregman, this kid Campbell, Christian Campbell, speaking of extensions, he just got one from Boston. And Tristan Casas, they all go deep. Casas takes Keegan Aiken deep. I don't know. What do you think of the Red Sox here? All of a sudden, 3-4. We had, Neil Solans from Tampa last week. The Rays, he thinks not only is Boston going to win the division, they're going to run away with the American League East, which I found fascinating.
They got some pitching injuries.
And politely disagreed with, by
the
way.
Me too. I saw Boston beat the Orioles, and I didn't see a great team in that series. They beat the Orioles, so I'll tip your cap, okay? But
right.
I didn't see and say the Orioles, they're better than the Orioles. I didn't see that yet.
Also in the AL East yesterday, the Yankees taking on the Diamondbacks, torpedo bats aside. And Aaron Judge, he's pretty good at hitting a baseball really far.
Driven out to right center field and deep. There it goes. See ya. His 500th extra base hit, his 5th home run of the year, and a 3-0 Yankee lead.
Michael Kay on the call there. Aaron Judge, his 5th homer. He was 3-for-5 with a homer, 4 ribbies. Yankees hold off the Diamondbacks 9-7. They were up big. Trent Grisham and Jazz Chisholm also go deep. By the way, Jazz Chisholm's got some crooked numbers home runs wise so far. But Yankees get the win. They salvage the series. What do you think of New York, however? We talk about the Orioles pitching woes. New York's got a ton of injuries, Steve, in their starting staff.
They certainly do. And Max Fried's still standing, so that's a pretty good guy to throw out there. And Their starting pitching is better than the Orioles right now, Bob, and the Orioles are going to have to close that gap somehow.
Now, New York, we know the big fancy name. What do you think of the Torpedo Bats? Bob Nightingale made a great point talking to Craig Council that how come you guys didn't know anything about it? Because we've talked about the media. We've known about it. But is this something that's going to be a big news cycle for 2 weeks and disappears? Or is this something, if the Yankees, for instance, continue to have success with it, becomes a big whining point for everybody else?
The first thing to know is the Yankees led Major League Baseball in home runs last year.
Right.
So it's not like they got these bats and all of a sudden became a power-laden team. They already were that, and Aaron Judge doesn't use one of these bats because he doesn't need to. If you're Aaron Judge, don't change a thing. So, Bob, some players have been using these bats. Apparently there are a couple in the Oriole clubhouse. I even was at Bowie the other day. One of the catchers, who's like a backup catcher, showed me he has a modified version of that bat, and he showed me. I put a picture on my X account. So it's making its way through the game. The guy who invented it did it in the winter of 23. So as soon as the 2023 season, some people are using this bat. I say the second. Much ado about nothing. It'll eventually be a non-story. And, it, you know, maybe if the Yankees have another one of those 8-homer games, we'll start hearing about it again.
All right, today in the division, Cardinals at the Red Sox. We just talked about 2:10 first pitch home opener for Boston at Fenway Park. Toronto at the Mets, that's a 3:10 first pitch. Blue Jays, right now, on top of the standings at 5-2. What do you make of Toronto right now? They look like they were going to suck after one game when the Orioles pounded them into submission, but they've only lost one time since then.
Well, I mean, they got some good starting pitching, too. And they've obviously, you know, to me, Santander and Guerrero all year is going to be fun to watch. That's going to be quite a dynamic duo. Those batting 1-2 or, you know, adjacent to each other, I should say. So, every year we look at Toronto and we say, wow, look at that roster. They're going to be near the top of the division, and they won 74 games. So they disappoint a lot, and maybe this is the year they won't. Oriole fans hope not. But again, the East looks pretty darn good.
Yeah, and they're the trendy pick or were for a couple of years to win the World Series. They haven't won a playoff series, playoff game, if I'm not mistaken, when they won 22 and 23. Mets, we know the big money that you mentioned, the payroll they put into that team. Yankees at the Pirates, 4-12. Rays at the Rangers, that's coming up at 8:05. And Tampa is a team without a home. I know they've committed $22+ million to replace or help refurbish the Trop, but what about Tampa? That's the team that over the last, what, going back to 08, their record rivals anyone in the American League in regards to wins and losses here.
Just like every year, Tampa is being discounted, and many years at the end, we look up and look who's there. So they just have a way of doing it year after year after year. They often have unheralded pitchers who they develop and make better on their watch. That pitching coach there is beloved by them, because Zach Eflin's told me about that, how the work he does. And so you can never say Tampa is, you don't have to worry about them.
Toronto in first place, as we look at the standings real quick, 5-2. Tampa, Yankees, 4-2. Orioles and Red Sox tied for fourth at 3-4. And the AL Central, Orioles and Kansas City tonight. We'll break this game down bottom of the hour. Everyone's 2-4 except for the Twins, who are 2-5. So a slow start for a division, Steve, that had three teams in the postseason last year.
Exactly, and did not do that well in the postseason.
Yeah, right.
The AL East record the last couple of years is a little kind of spotty here in postseason baseball. So the division has to show in October that it's good, not just from April through September.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Steve Molesky in. We're talking baseball. Another couple segments to go. You want to get in at 410-583-1057. Nolan McGraw's other side of the glass. Featured artist Friday. It's Aerosmith. When we come back, we're all the arms on the farm. Elias doesn't draft pitchers high. Is that by design? Well, I guess it kind of is, but are they developing some sneaky good prospects that could help the Orioles not just this year, but maybe in years to come? So stick around. You'll find out next.
Take me out to the ball game. What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapper jacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tell everyone, aside from sitting in here with me, which is probably the highlight of your day, what's going on with Steve Molesky's world here as we're in baseball season 2025?
I appreciate you. Let me plug this, but yes, I now have my own little space on Substack, which I'm learning more and more about as I go. I started about a month ago, and people can find me by going to steveonbaseball.substack.com, or you go to my social media, and they're it'll tell you ways to find me, but steveonbaseball.substack.com. And so I got a lot of subscribers. It's one of these deals, Bob, where it's essentially like you make your own website. I write daily on the Orioles there. I do some analysis of the Orioles. I do some features on lesser-known minor leaguers. Already in the month I've been there, I ranked the top 20 Oriole international prospects. And so I've been at Camden Yards already covering games. I've been at Bowie already covering things leading up to the season. So I have some live videos I do there. A podcast is coming to that space in the next few weeks. So it's going to be a great site, I believe, for Oriole fans. It's a huge amount of free content. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to pay, but there is also a paid portion of it for those that want to flatter me by doing that part, which a lot of fans have, Bob. It's been really heartwarming for me to see fans who followed me both free and paid at Substack. And I even when I went to the Oriole Utah Street block party, covered that the other day at Camden Yards there in Toronto. A lot of fans said, I'm on your Substack. So I'm like, really, that is really cool. And Oriole fans have been so great to me since my contract was not renewed with Masson and the Orioles at the end of January. You know, I have a lot of people, Twitter followers. I still have a lot of presence around this team. I'm going to be covering it every day of the season. I'm working harder probably than ever as I get this thing up and running. So hopefully people find me at Substack, and I'm thrilled so many have already.
The podcast world, is we're a little on the older side. You know, podcasts might be foreign to some. I mean, everyone can do one. I believe everyone but me and Nolan actually have podcasts.
And I was the third joining you now.
But is that a difficult thing to navigate? Because, look, if a tree falls, you know the old saying. So you've got to do a lot of legwork, a lot of social media, posting to let people know you even have that thing.
Well, I think what people like about podcasts, and they're so prevalent now, is it's an on-demand thing. You're out walking the dog, you can find the podcast. You're in the car, you can listen to the podcast. It's not like a live show like this is.
Sure.
And people have to tune in when we're on. You know, for the most part, they can go to the 105.7 web site and hear portions later or what have you. But now with a podcast, and what I envision it being for me, my own world of my podcast is conversations that are interesting about the Orioles and baseball. It's not going to be topical in terms of if you turn it on a Thursday, we're talking about Wednesday's game. There's plenty of spaces for that.
Sure.
But I want to have interesting conversations, get to know people. I'm going to interview some of my media friends, talk about their careers. I've got Dan Connolly and Peter Schmuck on deck here in the first few days.
Two strong guests right there.
So, I mean, I think Oriole fans here, if they hear Connolly and Molesky are going to have a conversation about sports writing in the Orioles, they'll want to listen to that, I hope. Molesky and Schmuck, they'll want to listen to that. So I'm going to get those guys. So hopefully I can, and you know, I'll get some guys, players, and hopefully coaches throughout the season, maybe some Oriole front office. Hopefully the team will help me with that, and I trust they will. And so, and I know a lot of people in this game, man. Jim Callis would drop anything he's doing and do 20 minutes with me. People like that around the game that I can talk to that provide some interesting conversations throughout the year.
Keith Law is always an entertaining discussion.
Keith Law is ready to drop and give you 20 minutes. You guys know that. You have him on here.
Yeah, well, we got him back.
Yes.
Well, that's a long story that I'm not going to dive into.
Okay,
Keith, no shortage of opinions for sure. All right, speaking of Keith, and he covers the minors, and he does the analysis of prospects, just like Jim does, and Kylie McDaniel at ESPN. But pitching-wise for the Orioles, we know the fancy bats, and we'll talk about them as well. We already mentioned Samuel Basayo. But you mentioned no Grayson Rodriguez-level prospect right now,
right
down on the farm. And Grayson was the number one overall pitching prospect for a couple of years there, and we've seen that kind of come to fruition at Baltimore from time to time. Injuries have obviously stunted that. But who are the dudes now down at wherever, Chesapeake and Delmarva, Norfolk, wherever they are? Where's the next wave of arms coming through here? Any starter to keep
an eye on? When I look at the Oriole pitching development, it's getting better and better. Baseball America has given it a lot of props in some articles the last couple of years. They have a host of pitchers in the team top 30, Bob, that are ranked like 6 through 25. That area. And let me just throw a few names out. The one has already been promoted to AAA. That's Cameron Weston. He's a right-hander that Baseball America ranks as their number 13. Eighth round draft pick in 2022 out of the University of Michigan. He's done nothing but put up good numbers throughout his minor league career. 3.18 ERA at Delmarva, 2.05 at Aberdeen, 3.41 at Bowie. Now he had a 4-inning outing the other night. It was pretty good in his AAA debut. So he's one to watch at AAA. AA is loaded with this group of pitchers. Trace Bright is back at AA. He was on Auburn's 2022 College World Series team. He's got big stuff and a big curveball, number 25 MLB pipeline. Zach Fruit, he drew a lot of attention this year in spring training, touching 100, and he is on that Bowie staff. So is Alex Pham. He's back for his second year. This was a 19th round draft pick, so a lot of these picks were not high picks, but they all have promise. Patrick Riley was traded for Billy Cook last year. This guy was touching 100 in spring training. He's a starter for Bowie, number 10 prospect by MLB Pipeline. Juan Nunez is on that Bowie staff, an international pitcher. So Bowie is loaded with some pitching guys to watch. Aberdeen is maybe the most loaded in terms of top 30 Oriole prospects right now. 10 are on the Ironbirds, who, by the way, will be home tonight in their first game at Ripken Stadium. Michael Ferret, Bob, is the Orioles' number 8 prospect. He was a 14th round draft pick in 2023, touches 97. And again, they're loaded with these mid-level guys who might pop here in the next year or two. Nestor Herman is on that staff, number 11 prospect. Trey Gibson, number 15 prospect, big guy, 6'5", 240, throws 95. They've got some intriguing international players on that Aberdeen team, position players like Aaron Estrada and Thomas Sosa. And one of the international pitchers I like the most, Keeler Morfe, who touches 100 and 101, is the number 9 prospect by MLB Pipeline. He is at Delmarva, 18 years old, out of Venezuela, signed for a $210,000 bonus. 18 years old, Bob. He's going to be in the rotation at Delmarva.
If I'm looking at this correctly, you mentioned 9th rated prospect. He's 5'8", 161. Is that correct in regards to the dimensions here?
Having not measured him myself, he is listed at 5'8", which, by the way, Bob, that's hard to be a right-handed pitcher to make the major leagues at 5'8". I can name you one who did it, who's shorter, Marcus Stroman. That's a role model for Keeler Morfe. He's shorter than 5'8", but there are people within the Orioles who have hinted to me that he's a little taller than what he's listed at. Yeah, 5'8 might have been his signing date size. And again, this kid is 18, so he might grow a couple inches yet.
5'8, buck 61. I mean, he's fighting for the middleweight championship.
Well, look, Dylan Bundy found out 5'11 and a half is tough to make it for a right-handed pitcher, so you hope he grows an inch or two. But, Bob, 101 right now, he has already touched.
That is insanity for sure. Chase McDermott, we saw him last year, might see him this year. What's the recovery time for him? A guy did what, shoulder, I believe, that has slowed down. I mean, if he was healthy, he's probably challenging maybe for a spot in this year's rotation. Will we see him pitch this year? More a respectable 6'3", buck 97.
I think so, and I think Brandon Young as well. And I think Young pitched a game last year. Wasn't it Brandon Young who pitched a game for the Orioles? Or was it McDermott maybe? I get that confused.
Yeah, McDermott for sure.
Both of them have a chance to be there. McDermott's currently hurting. So we'll see. I don't think it's imminent, his comeback, either Trevor Rogers. They need them both for pitching depth. But, yeah, I mean, at AAA, you've got Weston, interesting to watch. Young, interesting to watch. McDermott on the injured list currently. And, of course, you got Bisayo, Mayo. I really like Dylan Beavers, the outfielder, who has yet to pop, or has yet to put up big stats. He's their number six prospect per MLB Pipeline, and he has got it all, in my opinion, an all-around good game. And Fabian's got big pop, but he's striking out too much. He's hit two home runs already, though, for AAA. So Dylan Beavers and Judd Fabian, for me, Bob, big years for them at AAA. It's time to take steps forward. It's time to push for the major league team.
Bob Haney, Steve Molesky, Nolan McGraw, if you want to get in, you can. Now's your chance. 410-583-1057. Are the Orioles too cheap? Should they extend these young players? I'm not saying they're not trying, but probably going to be harder than we anticipate. And here's a question Steve can answer for us. 3 years from now, who's most likely to be an Oriole? Coby Mayo or Enrique Bradfield Jr.? Let's get out to the phones where we talk about 3 years from now, who's going to still play in a Baltimore uniform? Well, Bradfield hasn't played in one yet. Coby Mayo hasn't gone well, but we'll get into that. Get Steve's thoughts on that. Who's the more magical bean in a possible trade scenario? But let's go to Steve in Easton. Steve, thanks for holding. What's happening?
Things are pretty good, Bob. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, it was great to hear Molesky on there with
you. He's right here.
God, thanks, man.
I love that guy. So, lifelong Orioles fans, was at the 66 series. I'm old. I've watched them forever. I learned to love them, even when they weren't very good. But very frustrating with the way the league is set up now and the money that these big market teams will go out and take your players. Why would an agent recommend that a guy sign with the Orioles for they're not going to be able to match the big market money? Why would you sign our stars right now in Baltimore when you know that there's going to be more money coming from other places? And we got to have pitching. Even if we were to sign these guys, we can't get or can't afford or won't get the pitching we need. And we all know it's all about the pitching. You can't win every game 9-6. And, you know, the agents pretty control this game, the agents and then, of course, the Players Association. And they're not going to put a cap on, and they're not going to allow these small market teams to do anything but get a sniff. I mean, there's been some freaks that have come out of nowhere, Arizona a couple of years ago. But, you know, overall, we know the best four teams with the best players with the best pitchers. And barring major injuries, that's who's going to be there at the end. And it really takes a lot of the edge off of what we grew up rooting for, you know?
But let me interrupt you to say this. Tampa Bay has won the AL East. Baltimore has won the AL East in recent years. So the Yankees and the Red Sox have all the resources and all the money. They don't always win. And it can happen. And baseball has competitive balance has been compared to football, which has a cap. And baseball, depending upon how you rate it, might have more competitive balance. There's no New England Patriots there every year. You know, maybe the Dodgers are becoming that to baseball now, or the Mets might become that. But how many times over the years have we looked at what the Yankees spend, and yet the team that has the most American League wins since 2023 makes Camden Yards its home and just lost 115 games? So it can be done. We can't always look at it as, oh, we can't compete with that. They can compete with that. They have competed with that. So there's going to come a time when the Orioles are going to have to fork out some money for a pitcher, whether it's one of their own or it's a trade or it's a free agent. There's going to come that time, and we might be at that time. We might be at that time in July. So, and I think the day is coming. I think Rubenstein will do it. He has said there's no limit on the payroll. So the fans are going to hold him to that, Bob. And again, they're not, it's expecting $400 million is not realistic. But with the days of $80 million, got to be over with. So now they're up to $160, $180. So let's see how they take it from here and if they can get one of these young guys signed, because I think they can.
What do you think of that, Stephen Easton?
I like it. I like it. I just think the agents for the two guys, you know, I'm talking about.
Right, but Strasburg re-signed with the Nationals.
Thanks,
Boris will sign. His guys have re-signed. Some of them have. Strasburg did. There are other examples that I'm not thinking of right now, but there are others.
One of the Weaver brothers.
I had long talks. Angels, when he was here, I had long talks with Corbin Burns about Scott Boris.
Mm-hmm.
Off-the-record talks that I can't spill all the beans here. But essentially, Corbin Burns said to me, he works for me. I call the shots. Scott will do what I want him to do.
Now, if the Orioles, Gunnar Henderson, went to him, $500 million deal. Give me a 10 years, $500 million. That's $50 million, right?
Here's the other thing.
That's my GED.
Here's the other thing I will tell you.
Yes.
The Oriole organization has a good relationship with Scott Boris right now.
Okay.
They have reached out to him repeatedly over the years. He's got Westberg. He's got Gunner. He's got Vance Honeycutt. He's got Jackson Holliday. And there's one or two others I'm missing. You don't amass a bunch of Scott Boris clients to think you'll never keep any of them. And maybe they won't, Bob. Maybe I'll be proven wrong in the end. The Orioles have a good relationship with Boris. He won't give him any hometown discount. He never gives anybody that.
But
they've got a good relationship with this guy. When it comes time to pony up big bucks, they're going to have to do it at some point.
If tomorrow is what I'm asking,
right?
They go 10 for 500 to Gunner. How do you turn that down? If he stacks more all-stars, throws a gold glove and an MVP in there 3 years from now, it might not be enough to get it done. I mean, what Soto did you sign for? $800 million?
Right.
Some crazy number. Gunner seems to be trending into that $500 million
long-term rate. I don't disagree with you whatsoever on that. The prices don't go down. They almost never go. They never go from $350 million to $250.
Oh, really?
It always goes the other way. But if the Orioles right now, it would also be good PR for the team to make a big deal with one of these young guys, because I think the city would come. If they announce it a week from now, they sign Gunner, can you imagine the reaction on this station?
Right. Well, let me ask you this. 10 years ago, that would have been, 2015. What do you think? Manny was in his early prime. And it already amassed an all-star and, you know, with a platinum glove by that time. Chances better of keeping Gunner versus how you felt maybe with Machado. Because Manny, you know, we always wanted him to be a lifetime Oriole. Now, as he's been on two teams since then, he's entrenched in San Diego. But did you ever feel Manny was a lifer? And is it a better chance that Gunner could possibly be that
No,
guy?
And I was against long-term deal for Manny because, for me, he wasn't the guy to go to the wall for. You saw some cracks in the armor with the bat throwing, and Manny's attitude changed the longer he was an Oriole.
Within like a year and a half, it seemed.
Gunner Henderson, on the other hand, is exactly the guy to go to the wall for, my opinion.
Sure.
This is a great kid who's yes sir, no sir. That's what he was in Aberdeen, and that's what he is in Baltimore. This kid is loved in the clubhouse. He's becoming more of a leader. I think he's speaking up a little more. And his game, Bob, is on incline, and it's going to stay that way, I think. He hasn't maxed out yet. There's more to come. So the odds, the closer he gets to free agency, the tougher it gets. When he's a year away, he might say, why would I do it now? But when he's 3 or 4 years away, maybe that's the time.
All right, real quick, we teased that last segment. 3 years from now, most likely to be an Oriole, Coby Mayo, Bradfield. Or maybe both could be. I'm not saying you have to choose one or the other, but you kind of do. most likely to be, who could be on the old train out of town as a trade chip here.
I'll pick Bradfield, and I'll tell you why. Their infield depth is better than their outfield depth. Plus, right now, if you wanted to go get a Crochet type or whoever is that, Coby Mayo fronting that deal would have more clout than Bradfield fronting that deal. Because while Bradfield has 80 a defense and 80 speed, he doesn't have the pop that Coby Mayo has, could have 40 homer pop. And he's got a big arm. And while he doesn't have a position like Bradfield, and I just think the Orioles situation and it leads Bradfield to be that guy. And the way Mike Elias talks about Bradfield, man, they love that kid. I'm going to have to see it, Bob. If he hits 260
okay.
with his speed, he's disruptive. He told me in Bowie the other day he wants to be the next Ricky Henderson. I mean, that's the role model for this kid. Right. He wants to disrupt Major League Baseball games in the manner of Ricky. Would he ever do that? I don't know if he'll ever do that.
Grace lead
but I admire him for aiming for the stars.
And by the way, for those who might not be familiar with the scouting grades for baseball, 80's the best you can be. 80's what? Willie Wilson speed and yeah. Paul Blair defense, that sort of thing.
Well, the guy's next stolen base in the minor leagues will be his 100th.
Oh. Can he hit like Rick Anderson, though? Power-wise, because Ricky had some juice.
He cannot right now. He's getting a little better. He's getting more pop, and I think he's learning how he has to hit. Gap-to-gap, line drives, because if that ball hits outfield grass, Bob, that's when it gets fun with Bradfield.
We'll come back, take a trip through the funhouse with Nolan McGraw, Bob Haney, Steve Molesky, and Quick Draw Inside Access coming up here at 2 o'clock. Orioles in Kansas City taking on the Royals. Baltimore baseball tonight brought to you by Jerry's Home Services coming up at 6 o'clock, I'm guessing. Orioles 7:40 tonight, Kramer against Lugo. Tomorrow 4:10, Sagano against Waka. And then Povich at 2:10 against Bubich. On a Sunday, after dropping 2 out of 3 against the Red Sox, Steve, I'm assuming, winning a series would probably behoove the Orioles before they head out west, taking on the old Arizona Diamondbacks. And looking at the pitching matchups, I do not see Corbin Burnes listed as one of the starters there.
So so Kansas City starting 3 right-handers.
Right.
Which I like the Oriole,
no pun intended,
lefty hitter lineup right now better than I like how the right-handed hitter.
Bubich is a lefty on Sunday.
Okay, there you go. First two will be righties. I mean, I like Jackson in there. I like to see Kerstad in there. I mean, I wish they would just let Kerstad go and play every day, and let's see what he can do. I mean, sometimes the Orioles overdo the platoon thing. And they're looking to extract every advantage they can. And the stats, Bob, will tell us that the Orioles score high in these categories. Whether, there are things you can look up metrics saying teams that play the platoon, are they having success with it? Well, it's saying the Orioles are doing pretty well with it. Doesn't always feel that way to the fan base, not when you're 3-4. So I like the lefties. I want to see Jackson and Kerstad wreak some havoc in Kansas City. And Gunner, welcome back.
Nolan McGraw, any closing thoughts for the listeners here of 105.7 The Fan?
Well, I think we might have jumped the shark with all this torpedo bat stuff.
Really?
During the break, I'm looking at a fantasy baseball lineup here on Yahoo.
Yeah.
And you're looking at your lineup here. You get information next to each player's name. Who are they playing? When are they playing that day? Weather information, stuff like that. And now next to Ellie De La Cruz's name here, it's a little bat icon. Sure enough, I click on it. He's got a torpedo bat designation. So now this is infiltrated fantasy baseball where there's too many numbers as it is already, too many things to judge players by. Now we've already got designations for torpedo bats. When does it end?
Look, he had 7 ribbies in one game. And as a team, they haven't scored a run in 3 straight. They've lost 3 straight 1-0 games. So maybe his torpedo bat's got a hole in it or something. But as they say, and Steve Molesky, this better than anybody. Good pitching beats good hitting all the time, or most of the time.
It does, and I was watching a clip from Ryan Ripken's online show with Kyle Gibson the other day, and Kyle Gibson was saying, well, if you make one part of the bat bigger, others have to be smaller, right? So there's going to be some weaknesses in that bat in certain areas, and maybe hitting off the handle or at the end, that bloop that gets over shortstop, maybe now it doesn't. I mean, there's some give and take here, Bob. You can't take it from one to give to the other, and the bat works the same throughout the length of the bat. It just can't. So who's going to be the first hitter we hear about leaving the torpedo bat because he's ticked off at it? His end of the bat bloopers aren't falling in anymore.
Might be Ellie Dela Cruz, way things are going on there in Cincinnati. All right, Funhouse.
Quick Draws, Funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
First texter here says, I like that Bob Nightingale mentioned Luis Castillo in the mix for a potential trade this summer. Had my eye on him for a while. Think he'd be an ideal fit for Baltimore. Reliability, team control. Some might scoff at his age since we already have an older rotation, but he's my pick.
Team control is the part you said that I like, and I don't know without looking up how much and what he's got, but you want to, again, I think the Orioles have reached a point, Bob. They're a contending team. They're a good team. They need to not – this is one-year pitcher fix. They've got to escape that cycle at some point and start having pitchers they know are going to be around for a couple
of
years.
And I don't think Castillo's a dinosaur. I mean, he's
32.
Young, yeah, young whippersnapper next to old Morton there.
Contract-wise, looks like obviously this year, but two more full seasons after that.
So. Bingo. That plays.
Let's see here. Moving on, another one. Texter says, Elias has played his cards close to the vest. I think some fans are turned off by that lack of details publicly. I also think all it's going to take is one guy to finally decide to sign with the Orioles. Maybe the others catch on from there.
Well, I can go back a long way with this team, as you guys know, and people said they wouldn't re-up guys, and then Adam Jones re-upped. People said they'd never spend $100 million, and then Chris Davis got much more than that. So we can never say never, and I think fans saying they'll never sign a pitcher long-term, they'll never re-sign one of their guys, you might have to eat those words because, again, this owner's only been on the job one full year. They're still doing stadium stuff, Bob. There's a lot on their plate. But I think as he's obviously paying some attention to the fans' perspective on shows like this and other outlets. And I think he realizes they're clamoring to see a contract for one of their young guys.
And one last one here from Joe in Baltimore, who says, the old adage to me was always grow the arms, buy the bats. Well, apparently with Mike Elias, it's grow the bats. They've done a pretty good job at that. And buy old, used up arms. Unless I'm missing something here. Where are the good arms to buy?
We mentioned the names to watch. I'm not selling any of those names I mentioned as the next Grayson, but I'm saying Bradish wasn't top 100, and they nursed him along. Tyler Wells was Rule 5, and they nursed him along. John Means was never top 30, Bob. You believe that? John Means was one time, I think, at the very end of the list.
Okay.
So talk about top 100. He couldn't get on the team top 30. So I'm telling you, the Orioles have to feel, whether it's Cameron Weston or Zach Fruit or Trace Bright or Alex Pham or Keeler Morfay or Trey Gibson or Michael Ferret or Nestor Hermann, it's kind of a nondescript list, right? None of those guys are blowing us away. But several of them are throwing 95 to 100, and I think the Orioles feel like some of these guys are going to pop over the next couple years.
We hope so. By the way, last Oriole pitcher first round was Grayson Rodriguez, right? And that was a parting gift from Dan Duquette. Back in 2018.
Back-to-back years, they drafted high school pitchers. You're not supposed to take high school pitchers in the first round. D.L. Hall and Grayson.
D.L. now, is he doing anything?
I think he's hurt again,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, because old Joey Ortiz, starting shortstop in Milwaukee, off to a slow start. And by the way, David Rubenstein, we love you, man. I know you're a local guy. But drop a 50-clipper on a brand-new Oriole hat. You're wearing that 1992 Camden Yards thing. Let's break out. Maybe it's his lucky hat. He is a bazillionaire, so who am I to question his headgear? Anyway, that's it. Steve, it was a pleasure.
Pleasure, Bob. This was awesome.
Awesome. Appreciate your time. For Nolan McGraw, Steve Molesky, Vinny Serrato, of course, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe. Stay healthy. We'll talk to you on Monday. Inside Access coming up next, followed by BBT here on 105.7 The Fan. Class Smith.